Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Oh, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. A rather extraordinary letter was published by the New York Times Tuesday. National security experts, war in Ukraine is an unmitigated disaster. Signers say the conflict will be our undoing if we don't dedicate ourselves to forging a diplomatic settlement that stops the killing. Listen to this. An open letter calling for a swift diplomatic end to the war in Ukraine was published Tuesday in the New York Times. The letter's 14 signatories consisted mostly of former U.S. military officers and other national security officials, including Jack Matlock, Washington former ambassador to the Soviet Union, Anne Wright, a retired Army colonel and former diplomat, Matthew Ho, former Marine Corps officer and State Department official, and retired Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson, who served as Secretary of State Colin Powell's chief of staff. This is all very striking. Many are longtime critics of U.S. foreign policy and post 9/11 war policies. The letter, called the war an unmitigated disaster, cautions that future devastation could be exponentially greater as nuclear powers creep ever closer toward open war. While condemning Vladimir Putin's criminal invasion and occupation, and of course we all know that's a flawed, false depiction, Putin described the rationale for the special military operation in Ukraine in his magisterial letter of February 24th of a year ago on the eve of the incursion, where he had discovered there was about to be a massive onslaught on the Donbass, that the Kiev was planning to slaughter ethnic Russians and Russian sympathizers who lived in the region. Vladimir Putin was acting to protect them, which was totally appropriate, where they had been subjected to all kinds of harassment, artillery bombardment, and so forth since the coup of 2014, carried out by Victoria Nuland, using $5 billion of American taxpayer money to depose the Russia-friendly president of Ukraine and install him with a Western puppet, of whom the president, Zelensky, is the successor. In diplomacy, they continue, one must attempt to see with strategic empathy, seeking to understand one's adversaries. According to the letter, this is not weakness, this is wisdom. They are encouraging readers to understand the war through Russia's eyes. Since 2007, Russia has repeatedly warned that NATO's armed forces on Russia's border were intolerable, just as Russian forces in Mexico or Canada would be intolerable for the U.S. now, or as Soviet missiles in Cuba were in 1962. Russia further singled out NATO expansion into Ukraine as especially provocative. All, of course, true, absolutely 100%. If you don't understand that Ukraine was wanting to become a member of NATO, that Russia was alarmed, you have no grasp of the elements of the situation. So far, so good. They're putting it straight. The missive, which appeared on page 5 of the Time print edition, I say it deserved to be on page 1, lays out the history of warnings by key U.S. national security officials, politicians, and others about the dangers of NATO expansion in the late 1990s and again in 2008, when then U.S. Ambassador to Russia and current CIA Director William Burns cautioned Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice against pushing for NATO membership for Ukraine. Remember, with the dissolution of the Soviet Union in 1991, Gorbachev was given solvent assurance by Ronald Reagan that the West would not encroach a single inch to the east. At the time, there were some 13 NATO nations. Today, there are 30. Where do you think they came from? All from encroaching to the east. I mean, it's disgusting. The word of the West means nothing. How can anyone but sympathize with Russia when they've been dealing with liars, phonies, frauds, threatening the sovereignty of the Russian Federation ever since? They continue. Accompanying the text is a timeline of the deterioration in relation between Moscow and the West that began in 1991. When Secretary of State James Baker assured Russia that NATO would not expand eastward until Russia's invasion in February of last year. NATO expansion, in sum, is a key feature of a militarized U.S. foreign policy characterized by unilateralism, featuring regime change and preemptive war. According to the letter, which suggests Washington's failed wars in Iraq and Afghanistan have been two of the outcomes. Yes, yes. President Joe Biden, the fake president who's only installed because of a stolen election, he is not even the real guy where the Joe appears to have died in 2017, and we got actors wearing masks playing that role. It's just outrageous. Has vowed that Washington will continue to aid Kiev as long as it takes. Well, if Russia wins, does that mean we're still going to be there? And Russia is winning. The letter's signers fear that this is a recipe for escalation that could result in catastrophe. No doubt about it. This is a good letter, well-reasoned, sound, accurate. As Dan Ellsberg has warned courageously and unceasingly, we, the world, at the brink again. Perhaps closer to the edge than ever before. It only requires one step to go over, and then our steps end forever, Wilkerson said in a statement released by the Eisenhower Media Network. Sean, I'll call you when I'm off the air. which funded the full-page advertisement. If that's not sufficient reason for a return to diplomacy, our extinction is at hand. The timing is all that is in question, meaning that it's leading in the direction of a nuclear exchange that would bring about our extinction. When they say the timing is all that's in question, meaning if we continue on the current path, it is inevitable. Inevitable there will be a nuclear exchange. Look, Russia just took out an ammo depot that had these depleted uranium warheads that England had provided to Ukraine, even though Russia explained that if they did provide them, they'd regard them as nuclear devices. When the ammo depot was taken out, there was a mushroom cloud. It's now transiting the massive cloud of radioactive contamination over Poland, which appears, all things considered, highly appropriate, since Poland appears to have been the access route for providing these depleted uranium warheads to Ukraine. Just idiotic. What's going on is total moronism. I mean, it's just outrageous. To date, the United States has sent $37 billion worth of military aid to Kiev. High-level discussion with officials in Moscow have been rare. A number of other entities, including China, Brazil, and the Pope, have taken the mantle of pushing for a diplomatic solution, but to no avail. What Washington's role would look like going forward is more uncertain. With recent reporting, as well as revelations from Pentagon leaks, suggesting that the administration will continue supporting Ukraine through the anticipated counteroffensive against Russian forces before possibly reassessing, though officials have disputed that narrative. Well, will there even be a counteroffensive? Frankly, I doubt it. Russian bombers have already been taken out. The personnel and the supplies that were being marshaled for the presumptive counteroffensive. Not only that, but Zelensky has shown not the least interest in any kind of solution. He's insisted that Russia must leave any lands it has occupied in order for there to be a settlement, but Russia is not going to leave either the Donbass or Crimea. You can take that to the bank. The letter, entitled "The U.S. Should Be a Force for Peace in the World," urges the Biden admin to pivot toward pursuing a negotiated solution to end the war speedily. This reality is not entirely of our own making, yet it may well be our undoing, the letter concludes, unless we dedicate ourselves to forging a diplomatic settlement that stops the killing and defuses tensions. Now, that was a very worthy contribution, and at the time publish it, even if on the fifth page, is good. But then again, given the prominence of the individual, it would be pretty embarrassing if the Times had declined to publish it. Just to suggest how far things are falling apart for Europe and NATO, calls grow for Swexit, for Sweden, to leave the European Union. As the leader of Sweden's second largest party renews criticism of Brussels, saying the country must take steps so we are prepared to leave the EU. Jamie Atkinson, leader of Sweden Democrats, is strongly anti-Brussels. EU membership is popular in Sweden, but he argues Stockholm should take steps to ensure the country is in a stronger negotiating position with the bloc. Calls for Sweden to leave the European Union grew on Monday as the leader of the country's second largest party renewed his criticism of Brussels while calling on Stockholm to take steps so it is prepared to leave the bloc. The Sweden Democrats, an informal part of the government, have long been opposed to the country's membership in the European Union. But with polls suggesting the majority of Swedes want to stay, the party has claimed it'll follow the will of the people and not push for Swexit. Despite this, Jamie Ekesson, leader of the SD, has now argued that Sweden should not let any further power be transferred from national politicians in the country's parliament to lawmakers in Brussels without a referendum. In an article written by Ekesson and Charles Wimers, a Swedish member of the European Parliament, the pair argued that the Swedish government should take measures and steps so that our country is prepared to leave the EU. The measures they are proposing include a change to the Constitution to enable readiness for a withdrawal. Ekesson and Wimers argue that in doing so, they would be in a better negotiating position within the bloc. We Sweden Democrats now want to investigate how our country can prevent more transfer of power to the EU, maximize our influence, and achieve better negotiating results, the pair say, in their article published by Svenska Dagbladet. This is currently a more urgent issue than the discussion about membership. One constitutional change, they say, would be the introduction of a so-called referendum lock following the British model. This would mean that the Swedish people who have a vote on whether or not to approve any power being transferred from Sweden to Brussels must have a vote. Such a measure was also introduced by Britain in 2011 by then PM David Cameron, who eventually went on to call the Brexit referendum in 2015, with a vote taking place in 2016, ultimately leading to Britain's exit from the European Union. In their article, Ekesson and Wimers write, "Only the knowledge that every decision on the transfer of power must be submitted to the citizens would slow down the worst abuses from Brussels." The Sweden Democrats also argue that countries should also be prepared to leave the Union completely, primarily to give the country a better foothold in negotiations and not necessarily, they claim, to leave the EU. "In order for preparedness to be credible, it's necessary that we remove the writings in the Constitution and state that Sweden is a member of the EU. In addition, we should train a cadre of civil servants with the expertise to negotiate trade agreements and other things we have delegated to the EU and study how Brexit could have been implemented better. The better preparedness we have to leave, the more we will gain in future negotiations." The party also wants to set up an investigation into how to reduce any negative effects caused by Sweden's membership in the bloc. Ekesson's position has been criticized by some in the ruling government in Sweden. Surprise, surprise. According to a source inside the moderate party, which heads up the country's leading right-wing bloc, some moderates feel Ekesson's actions are weakening the position of Prime Minister Ulf Kristersson. Sweden currently holds a presidency of the Council of the European Union, making Kristersson one of the key faces of the EU during this time. The sources told Swedish newspaper Aftonbladet that the SD leader's actions are viewed as an embarrassment to the coalition and have led to internal discussions inside the moderate party. Some in the party point out that the only other European figure openly playing with leaving the European Union currently is Hungary's autocratic leader, Viktor Orban, thus putting Ekesson in the undesirable company, the source said. Earlier this month, Akerson claimed the EU's expanding power meant German, Polish, or French politicians, in practice, decide what car you can buy, how expensive petrol should be, and which tree you can cut down on your own property. The leader of the Sweden Democrats said the country should seek more exemptions from EU laws as part of a reset in relation with a 27-member group. Akerson, whose anti-immigration party has a big influence over Sweden's right-of-center government, then stopped short of directly calling for Swexit, a vote on whether to leave the European Union, as Britain's voters did in 2016. But he said the EU was heading in the wrong direction. Today, there are good reasons to seriously reevaluate our membership in the Union, Akerson wrote. Our general election in Sweden will soon cease to have any significance in Sweden's development, naturally. We can't allow that to happen. Akerson warned the EU might impose more liberal immigration policies on Sweden, which has taken an increasingly tough line in recent years on asylum application. Swedes are among the most positive in Europe regarding EU membership, with 68% support, according to a survey by Gothenburg University in March. In last year's general election, his party got 20.5% of the vote. Its support was crucial in enabling the minority moderate Christian Democrat and liberal coalition to take power. As part of the deal, the Sweden Democrats have exercised considerable influence on policy, pushing for tougher immigration rules and watered down ambitions on climate change. The party has threatened to bring down the coalition if it doesn't cut taxes on fuels and stand up to the EU over asylum quotas. All that, I think, is basically very positive. Meanwhile, Joaquin Agopian published a new piece suggesting that the Khazarian Mafia Pedo Empire may be falling apart, which is devoutly to be wished. So you can find this on my blog at jameshfetzer.org. Joaquin Hegobian. Profiting from the wickedness of human enslavement has literally been ongoing for well over four centuries. The English crown, the Rothschild banking cabal, and its City of London cartel headquarters have been guilty of money laundered profiteering from both the long booming trades of trafficking both illegal drugs and human slaves. Since Queen Elizabeth I signed the East India Company Charter in 1600, for nearly half a millennium now, the Anglo-American Zionist Empire's organized crime monopoly has been allowed to bountifully flourish virtually unblemished, shielded and protected to this very day, gaining immense wealth and unbridled power at the expense of billions of destroyed lives from its drug and child sex trafficking operations worldwide. With 40 million modern slaves today, the slave trade involves more children and adults trafficked as modern slaves for labor and commercial sex exploitation than at any previous time in history, along with the diabolical trafficking of human organs and illegal arms, virtually all of it covertly money laundered by the world's largest central banks, run primarily by the Rothschild bloodline. But the centuries of Rothschild Khazarian Mafia rule on this earth may be coming to an end through full public criminal exposure and growing demands for justice. 2023 is the year of reckoning, where the fall of the cabal as a house of cards is already underway. The child sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein has allegedly been dead for nearly 4 years now. His name is still in the daily headlines, even in the mainstream legacy media. Why? Because a globalist slave empire is likely coming down. In this week's episode of the Epstein saga, Deutsche Bank agreed to pay Epstein victims $75 million to avoid trial and further negative scrutiny, just when the lawsuit against America's biggest bank, J.P. Morgan Chase, is heating up. After Germany's largest bank, Deutsche, failed to convince federal judge Jed Rakoff of the Second District of Southern Court of New York to drop the case, it settled. The judge was unwilling to dismiss the Deutsche case on the ground that Epstein solicited Deutsche Bank's advice about how to structure his withdrawals so as to evade notice, and he was shielded by Deutsche Bank's failure to file suspicious activity reports. Jane Doe, representing a number of Epstein underage victims, will receive the financial award after the class action lawsuit was filed last November 2022 under a temporary New York State extension of the statute of limitations for child sex abuse cases. The plaintiffs accused the bank of seeking profit over their own well-being, choosing to do business with a known convicted child sex felon from 2013 to 2018, more than a full half decade after his nationally publicized conviction. The fact Epstein's sex abuse victim previously received $7.4 million from the Epstein estate was used by Deutsche Bank to claim plaintiffs were already fairly compensated. But Judge Rakoff wasn't buying that. We'll be right back.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, Funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of a library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
While you may hear my cell phone ring intermittently, in this case, a call I took during the break is informing me, though at present based on only one source but highly reliable, that Ukraine has sent tanks into Russia to take four different cities in Russia, which obviously is a dramatic escalation, symbolically, psychologically. It may lead to a mobilization of forces in Russia. This, in my opinion, was a stupid idea because it's going to bring down the hammer on Ukraine even harder than it's coming down now. So I mentioned, well, based on only one source at present, the source has proven highly reliable in the past. So we may have this effort here to, you know, a show of bravado, sending tanks actually into Russia, which heretofore has not regarded the Ukraine war as an existential threat, but where there's a potential that that perception may change. And remember, Putin and the Russia foreign minister and others have made it very clear that if there's a perceived to be an existential threat to the Russian Federation, that they will use all of the weapons at their disposal. All of the weapons at their disposal. And you must bear in mind, Russia is head and shoulders the most formidable nuclear power on Earth. They're superior to the US, UK, put other sources together. Russia is superior. It has better missiles. It has better anti-missile missiles. It has better anti-ship missiles. It has better anti-submarine torpedoes. This is a serious development. Thus, just so you know, I mean, I allow my phone to ring just on the off chance there might be something important going on so I can check it out during the break. And this is what I have to tell you now. Continuing. Shortly after, the fact that Epstein's sex abuse victims previously received $7.4 million from the Epstein estate was used by Deutsche Bank to claim plaintiffs were already fully compensated, but Judge Rakoff wasn't buying that feeble ploy to weasel out of its complicit criminal wrongdoing. Money laundering financial institution must pay up for committing their crimes as well. The Epstein estate on November 30, 2022, paid the $105 million settlement after the enterprising Virgin Islands Attorney General Denise George charged the Epstein estate for committing international child sex trafficking on her U.S. jurisdictional territory. Shortly after, America's largest bank, J.P. Morgan Chase, dumped their client Epstein for growing liability that same year, 2013. After 10 years of money laundering, the Epstein-Maxwell entrapment operation, the pedophile then switched to Deutsche. Throughout Epstein's decade-long business with J.P. Morgan, the bank was well aware that he was generating an enormous illegal income from pedophilic activities, especially during the half decade after his 2008 conviction. And let me reiterate, if anyone is unaware, Joaquin Agobian is the world's leading expert on pedophilia, sex trafficking, and the like here in America, even worldwide. This guy is a top of the line when it comes to the investigation of these sordid activities, which are off-putting for most. They can't handle it. Well, we're in his debt for going where others dare not. This foreknowledge of Epstein's illicit operation service through the sworn testimony of Mary Callahan Erdos, the chief executive officer of J.P. Morgan Asset and Wealth Management. But less than a month later, after filing her latest case against J.P. Morgan last December 27th, the current Virgin Island governor fired his attorney general, Denise George, for digging under too many forbidden rocks, uncovering high crimes by some of the world's biggest banks. 2 days after filing the lawsuit in New York City against the Rothschild-affiliated J.P. Morgan for its criminal Epstein ties, she was fired. Biden arrived on vacation to the island the day before. The plaintiff, Virgin Island lawsuit, also accuses J.P. Morgan of criminal complicity in the Epstein-Maxwell trafficking operation for failing to report the obvious suspicious activity over a decade-long stretch, even years after his 2008 conviction. Documents unsealed in February of 2023 indicate that at least 20 Epstein victims were paid off with more than $1 million through his J.P. Morgan accounts. The bank is guilty of ignoring multiple red flags that should have halted all his account transactions. In July of 2020, Deutsche Bank paid New York State Department of Financial Services $150 million over-the-bank shady dealing with Epstein, as well as for internal compliance failures, since everyone in 2013 knew how Epstein made his millions. Last year, the bank had to pay its shareholders $26.3 million for misleading them on its lack of vetting procedures. This same scandalous bank has had to cough up millions more in multiple fines over the last few years, and today may be among Europe's increasing number of insolvent financial institutions after the Credit Suisse collapse in late March of 2023, scooped up by UBS, former Union Bank of Switzerland. The Rothschild-operated central bank cabal is a house of cards now. Both Epstein victims and the U.S. Virgin Islands filed the joint suit against J.P. Morgan on December 27, 2022. It's still pending, while attempting to gather subpoena depositions from witnesses, though it's proceeding without original Virgin Islands attorney, General Denise George, with trial set for this October. 18-year-old CEO Jamie Dimon and former exec Jess Staley are on the hot seat. The Dimon is conveniently attempting to dump all blame onto Staley as Epstein's personal banker, using excuse that Staley repeatedly thwarted J.P. Morgan's effort to cut ties. Pure cover-your-ass smoke and mirrors. When Jamie Dimon began his 18-year helm atop the bank as CEO in December of 2005, he too was aware that the Palm Beach Police Department was already in the process of investigating Epstein for illegal activity involving underage girls. Moreover, journalist Whitney Webb, March this year, emphatically wrote in an explosive article that the same high-end crooks who landed him in his CEO dream job at America's largest Wall Street bank were the same powerful players who brought Epstein to prominence. Jack Kessler, real estate developer, as Westerner's right-hand man in the development of Ohio's wealthiest community, New Albany, and Les Wexner, buddies since their Ohio State University days together, both with mafia ties, were suspiciously involved in a mob-style execution of Werner's tax attorney for evasion, yet the corrupt Columbus police never charged anyone for the brutal, unsolved crime. Another close Wexner ally is James Shine Crown, the billionaire family proprietor of both the Sara Lee Corporation and General Dynamics. Kessler and Crown were instrumental in selecting Jamie Dimon as Bank One president in 2000, and 3 years later, after J.P. Morgan acquired it, the same Wexner clique placed Dimon to head Wall Street's biggest bank. James Shine Crown's father, Lester Crown, was also a founding member of Les Wexner's powerful Zionist mega group. In a small circle of friends, Wexner, Kessler, and Crown essentially put both Dimon and Epstein on the map. And certainly no accident that Epstein had his millions laundered by Dimon's bank. In her expose, astute Whitney uncovers the globalist tech transfer from the U.S. to the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe through the likes of Ghislaine Maxwell's father, Robert Maxwell, his personal attorney, Samuel Pissar, stepfather is today's treasonous U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, and the subversive intelligence link controlled data corporation during the 1970s and 80s. Even Jimmy Carter's Vice President Walter Wandale left Washington to take a job as a legal consultant with CDC. employed by the shady CDC busily feeding the Soviet stolen U.S. technologies. Mondale was also consultant to organized crime connected friends, the Allen brothers, Charles and Herbert, tied to Epstein's financier, Mega Group co-founder, Les Wagner's mentors, Max Fischer and Alfred Taubman, in turn linked to Earl Bryan, who, with Rafi Eitan, the Israeli spy master chief of IDF's anti-terrorism intel unit, stole the promised software that provide backdoor bugging, enabling Israel to breach U.S. and others' national security. In fact, it has been sold worldwide to law enforcement agencies, banks, militaries, governments, gaining access to top-secret technologies the world over, that included atomic energy at New Mexico's Sandia Labs. Earl Bryan's lawyer was Alan Tesler, who served on Zionist Wexler's the limited board of directors and had close mob ties with the Gulitas crime family that Epstein shared office space with while working for Wexner in the late 1980s. You can see how this criminal web comprised of globalists coming together to consolidate their centralized power and control, ultimately for the Rothschild Khazarian Mafia kingpins occupying exclusive influence and control globally at the City of London, Israel, Washington, D.C., the Vatican Bank, Brussels, New York City's UN, Wall Street, Federal Reserve, and Switzerland's Bank of International Settlements. This consolidation of power in recent decades has led to what humanity is up against today: genocide. This Khazarian mafia was fully operational when Israeli-Russia-UK super spy Robert Maxwell paid off Senator John Tower to gain access to the stolen backdoor promise software to Sandia Lab for both Israel and Soviet Union theft of America's secret nuclear technologies, and more recently through Unit 8200 Silicon Valley trade secrets. Even back a half century ago, there's always been ambitious globalists in hot pursuit of gaining absolute centralized control through espionage, penetration, covertly subverting and undermining national sovereignty, moving stealthily closer to consolidated one-world government. Dual Israeli citizenship, loyal to Zionist Israel and not America, yet entrenched as neocon fixtures in Washington even to this day, is case in point, with 9/11 one example of their treason. Thus, by the mid-1980s, super spy's super daughter, Ghislaine, was groomed by daddy as both Jeffrey Epstein's handler and social climbing aide, the bloodline dynasty kingpins like the Rothschilds, English royal family, presidents, prime ministers, CEOs, and Hollywood, all for entrapment purposes, strategically brought together by mastermind Robert Maxwell, working on behalf of Rothschild Khazarian Mafia's Israeli, U.S., U.K. intelligence that now is fast leading us to one-world government tyranny. All three of the Epstein lawsuits against America and Germany's largest banks expose how global child sex trafficking provides a blackmail control leverage on thousands of targeted VIP puppets in politics, the judiciary, top corporations, law enforcement and media outlets, all the while pumping out 24/7 propaganda to shape, misdirect, and control public perception of reality. Child sex trafficking serves as a crucial control mechanism within the highly profitable organized crime industry that keeps puppet national leaders on a leash, and now it works hand in hand with the world's largest banks owned and operated by the Rothschild-Kazarian Mafia's banking cartel for money laundering black op purposes. But now, at least, bankers are finally having to cough up token, drop in the bucket compensation packages for their crimes. Yet none of the banksters, politicians, and protected elite class are likely to go to jail, as not one of the hundreds of Epstein Maxwell pedo clients have ever been indicted or arrested. For all the planet's largest banks to knowingly do business with the most notorious child rapist trafficker in the world for years on end just demonstrates how the RKM bloodline owned cartel is composed of greedy, low-life, satanic scumbags who do the bidding of the globalist mafia cartel. It's absolutely no different with the Epstein personal calendar recently released to the public through the Wall Street Journal, showing that even after Epstein's 2008 pedo conviction, America's CIA, current CIA director, and career State Department diplomat William Burns clamored to meet up multiple times with America's most infamous pedophile child sex trafficker. Then there's the current Goldman Sachs attorney, Catherine Ruemmler, who was Obama's top fixer, bailing him out of multiple scandals, meeting dozens of times with Epstein. Even the so-called renowned MIT professor, Noam Chomsky, shared financial relation with Epstein and dined at his Manhattan mansion with a still-renowned pedophile filmmaker Woody Allen. It was disclosed by the Wall Street Journal this week that Epstein, the expert mover and shaker of large sums of money laundered a sizable transfer sum of $250,000 for Noam, that Noam insists was mere assistance on a technicality involving loose ends from his marriage with his deceived wife. That is nothing to see here, folks. Another high roller, Joshua Cooper Ramo, who met with Epstein regularly, was co-CEO of Henry Kissinger and Associates consulting firm and on the board of directors of the shipping giant FedEx, as well as at Starbucks. The nexus between the international Epstein-Maxwell sexual blackmail operation as part of the Rothschild bloodline overlords control operation over the world is also being exposed now. Arianne de Rothschild, whose late husband, Benjamin de Rothschild, heir to his father's private Geneva, Swiss, Edmond de Rothschild banking fortune, suddenly died of a heart attack at age 57 in January 2021. But in January 2015, he made Arianne his family's bank chairwoman. Arianne knew Epstein as both friend and business associate, regardless of the fact that he was a publicly known, disgraced international child sex trafficker. The May 17, 2023 article in New York Magazine Intelligencer, we learned 10 months after her husband placed Arianne in charge of his bank, that in October of 2015, she, Arianne de Rothschild and Epstein, negotiated a $25 million contract for Epstein Southern Trust Company to provide risk analysis and the application and use of certain algorithms for the bank. As just one little favor, Arianne purchased almost $1 million worth of auction items for Epstein in 2014 and 2015. After being caught in the bold-faced lie in 2019, right after Epstein's second pedo arrest, Ariane claims she had no ties at all with Epstein. But when the Wall Street Journal recently contacted her, holding the documented proof of her lie, her bank rep was forced to admit she and America's most infamous pedophile held business meetings between 2013 and 2019. Yet on behalf of Ariane, the bank rep had to lie yet again to claim Ariane Rothschild was similarly unaware of any questions regarding his personal conduct. Let's do a deep dive down the rabbit hole of Epstein and Ariane de Rothschild, $25 million joint investment in the pedophile Southern Trust Company again. Incisive journalist author Whitney Webb. In an interview this week with Redacted, Clayton Morris delves into Epstein's Southern Trust startup company in the Virgin Islands. After Epstein's went overnight for 13 months, sleeping at his private wing of the Palm Beach jailhouse as part of his sweetheart deal, once copying to soliciting sex from a minor, just a couple of years later in 2012, he created a company in the Virgin Islands called Southern Trust, a human data mining company set up to solicit local island children DNA for data mining analysis, conducting gene sequencing to determine what big pharma drugs ostensibly are the most efficacious. It smacks of Dr. Frankenstein's mad science experimentation, conducting invasive biomedical research on local island kids. Based on
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either," available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
That the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. At the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior
or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Continuing, based on documents submitted in 2012 to the Virgin Islands Economic Commission in St. Thomas, attempting to solicit government approval for his bizarre project, the island attorney general in a later successful lawsuit against the Epstein estate cited his new company was intent on probing island children as guinea pigs in brain mapping experimentation using AI algorithm servers to power genetic sequencing on how it might be utilized to best educate the children, specifically targeting mentally ill, autistic, savant kids and our youth from poor, underprivileged backgrounds for highly unethical, illegal child abuse, labeled as science. Yet, Ariane de Rothschild, from the Edmund de Rothschild Group, the first woman to head a Rothschild brand financial institution, apparently was all in, handing over $25 million to Epstein in 2015 for his Dr. Mengele project. Epstein was soon able to raise a total of $200 million for his Southern Trust, possessing a pool of such high-end investigators, in spite of his perverse criminal history, raping, abusing, and enslaving underage minors. Incredible sources maintain that Epstein's satanic temple on his 78-acre Little St. John's Orgy Island, complete with underground tunnels, allegedly conducted child blood sacrifice rituals. Yet only the island's attorney general, Janice George, made valiant effort to get to the bottom of this creepy, no doubt highly unethical, illegal child data mining criminal enterprise called Southern Trust, drawing support from some of the world's most powerful elites. The same elites currently perpetrating genocide against the human race enthusiastically backed Epstein's malefact transhumanist operation a decade ago. Remarkably, the predator utilized the exact same recruiting methods that target child victims on the island as his longtime sexual blackmail operation in the States, exploiting underprivileged kids as maximal means of getting away with his crimes. and with so many powerful globalist friends on board fully endorsing it, along with shared appetite for transhumanism among courted like-minded devotees within science, academia, politics, and finance, now all waging World Economic Forum's fifth generational warfare. As appalling as all this seems, it's not surprising. It's just Epstein predatorily branching out for more criminal pursuits. And who knows? Perhaps a pedophile was still active in that same pursuit. The Rothschilds are known as Satanists, Khazarian mafia kingpins, Zionist owners of both Israel, at least 80%, and the City of London, international criminal banking cartel, and now irreversibly steeped deep over their heads in global child sex trafficking. It's ludicrous and an insult to our intelligence for any of the Rothschilds to continue lying about their very dark criminality, because the truth has already been uncovered and out there in the public domain, like it or not. The fact that all these very high-profile, extremely influential, powerful individuals could seek Jeffrey Epstein out in droves after his pedophile conviction proves that once you work for Israeli, U.S., U.K. intelligence services in trapping pedophile presidents, prime ministers, and royal princes, it matters little that you rape children if elites are busily doing the same thing. Clearly, the smooth operator Epstein was always in demand, enjoying his protected status elevated by his higher pay grade, attracting a steady stream of other deep state high rollers belonging to the same satanic pedo club lifetime membership. More to come. There's an extremely interesting piece by Paul Craig Roberts I also want to share with you today. Paul Craig Roberts. The United States has been destroyed by its ruling elites. You can also find this on my blog at jameshfetzer.org. Republished by Zero Hedge. Against the backdrop of the United States' recognition of the investigation against Donald Trump as politically motivated, structural and ideological controversies and concerns that the American economy will enter a recession, the GO4 editorial board asked Paul Craig Roberts, chairman of the Institute for Political Economy, a PhD in economics, U.S. Undersecretary of Treasury in the Reagan administration, to share his views on America's future. Question. Special Counsel John Durham acquitted Donald Trump on the so-called Russiagate, writing in his report that the FBI investigation was politically motivated. How will this news affect the Democrats' fight against Trump? Paul Craig Roberts. The Special Counsel's vindication of Donald Trump and denunciation of the FBI for conducting a politically motivated investigation devoid of any evidence should collapse the equally fraudulent Biden regime investigation of Trump on fake document charges and the New York State prosecution of Trump on alleged expense misreporting charges. It has been clear for a long time that the list of fake charges against Trump supported by the media are propaganda to prevent Trump again running for president and to teach all future potential presidential candidates that they will be destroyed if they attempt to represent the people instead of the unelected ruling oligarchy. However, the Democrat Party and the prostitutes that service them have no respect whatsoever for truth. Facts simply do not matter to them. This is true also of American universities, law associations, medical associations, the FBI, CIA, NSA, State Department, regulatory agencies such as NIH, CDC, FDA, large corporations, and many establishment Republican members of the House and Senate who serve the economic interests that pay them, not truth. It is also the case with a high percentage of Democrat voters who have been conditioned by propaganda to hate Trump. To Democrats, what matters is not facts, but getting Trump. Trump is not permitted to prevent the destruction of Trump. Consequently, the U.S. is moving toward a fatal split in society from which recovery is impossible. Trump represents ordinary Americans who prefer peace to the neoconservatives' wars, who want their jobs back that the greed-driven capitalist global corporations sent to China and Asia, who want their children properly educated instead of indoctrinated with sexual perversion, Satanism, and told that they are racist. In contrast, the Democrats are increasingly woke people who believe that truth is an oppressive tool of white supremacy, that Christian morality is tyrannical and discriminatory against pedophiles and sexual perverts, and that, as President Biden himself has said, white people are the greatest threat to America. Now that official investigation by the House Republicans that brought the utter corruption of Biden and his son to light, the Democrats, the dangerous and corrupt military security complex, and the complicit whore American media are desperate. They all stand as being exposed. So rather than apologize for their mistreatment of Trump and his supporters, thousands of whom the Democrats have illegally imprisoned, they will likely strike out while they still control the executive branch, the U.S. Senate, the CIA, FBI, NSA, and federal agencies such as the IRS that have been armed and militarized. Alternatively, the corrupt and threatened Democrats might cause war between the U.S. and Russia or Iran or China in the hope that a war will unify even Trump supporters, especially the super patriots among them, around the president against foreign enemies. Wow. Question. Recently, there were reports that former President Mike Pence seriously intends to compete with Donald Trump in the presidential race of 2024. How do you assess his chances? And why did he decide to take such a step? Paul Craig Roberts. Mike Pence has no chance whatsoever of prevailing over Donald Trump. Pence is running as a service to the ruling establishment. Pence is a pretend Christian evangelical. Evangelicals don't oppose Armageddon because they believe they will be wafted up to heaven while those still on earth are consumed in fire. The ruling American oligarchy hopes that, and he refers to him as Spence, will draw off the Christian evangelicals from the Trump vote, thus reducing Trump's margin of victory so the Democrats can again steal the presidential election. As evangelicals are not very astute, the Democrats might succeed in derailing Trump and the American people. Pence, of course, would not become president. Question. We can't help but ask about the migration problem. After the abolition of Section 42, analysts predict a new influx of refugees from Mexico and Latin America. What will such problems lead to? And will they affect the election of the head of the White House next year? Paul Craig Roberts. The Biden regime is spending billions of dollars to defend Ukraine's borders, but won't spend one penny to defend America's. The Democrats want the Hispanic and Black immigrants who will give the vote because the immigrant invaders water down the white majority population and destroy the ethnic basis of the U.S. Instead of a unified nation, there is a Tower of Babel. As the Democrats control the major cities in most states, and thereby the election rules and vote counting, it doesn't matter how people vote. As Stalin said, the only thing that matters is who counts the votes. Only a total fool would expect Democrats to count votes that gave victory to Republicans. Question. Passions around the American public debt, inflation, jobs, possible new collapse of American banks are only growing. Tell us, please, what awaits the American economy in the foreseeable future? After all, the recession in the United States will have an impact on the whole world one way or another. Paul Craig Roberts. The United States, despite my best efforts and the efforts of others for decades, has been destroyed by its ruling elites for the sake of short-term profits and short-term growth in power over the people. By offshoring its manufacturing jobs, the global corporation destroyed the American middle class and the latter's upward mobility that had made America the opportunity to society. Today, many former American manufacturing and industrial cities look like the remains of bomb cities. As U.S. corporations produce the goods abroad that they market to Americans, the goods enter the U.S. as imports. Thus, offshoring production for the home market worsens the trade deficit. The trade deficit has to be financed. This is no problem for the U.S. as long as the dollar is in demand as a reserve currency by all countries in order to pay for their international transactions. And countries with trade surpluses keep their monetary surpluses in U.S. Treasury bonds, thus financing both the U.S. trade and budget deficits. Washington, in an act of incredible stupidity, has driven a dagger through the heart of the U.S. dollar as world reserve currency, thus ending Washington's ability to pay its bills by printing money. The dagger was a Biden regime's Russian and other sanctions and the seizure of Russia's central bank deposits. This finally convinced the rest of the world that holding dollar balances exposed a country to the risk of expropriation or control by Washington. The consequence is that the world is moving away from the use of the dollar, instead settling their trade balances in their own or other currencies. Therefore, the demand for dollars is declining, but the supply is rising because of U.S. trade and budget deficits. Sooner or later, U.S. dollars exchange value will fall, setting off high inflation in the U.S. that is outside the control of the central bank. American living standard will fall. The U.S. will begin to look like India in 1900. The hatred of white people the Democrats have taught to blacks and immigrant invaders will result in internal war. The only question is whether white Americans will have been so indoctrinated with their guilt that they are unable to defend themselves. Wow! That is so powerful. So powerful. Here's another complimentary. U.S. Navy enlists drag queen for digital ambassador role to attract more recruits. As a former Marine Corps officer, this is idiotic. This is moronic in the extreme. The result is going to be a massive turnoff. The U.S. military can no longer recruit the traditional backbone of the fighting force, white, southern, conservative, heterosexual men. Few Democrats can be found in America's armed forces, only 29%. White Southern males see serving their country as honorable, but when they see their country being taken away from them in every respect, in Budweiser, Gillette, Disney, Google, and all ads and public policy advocacy, in corporate advertisements that never show a white family, and when they suffer the outrage of being required as military recruits to subject themselves to brainwashing called sensitivity training, in which they hear that they are racist and misogynist oppressors of blacks and women, and find that those taught to regard them as oppressors are their officers, and that they cannot be promoted because they are racially and gender overrepresented in the officer ranks. White heterosexual males, unconfused about their gender, simply have stopped joining the American military. This fact is reflected in U.S. Navy, Army, and CIA recruitment advertisements. Just click the URL and you'll see how sick the U.S. military is. The Navy is going to rely on transgender people who don't know whether they are male or female. The U.S. Army is going to rely on women. The CIA is going to rely on immigrant invaders who walked across a border. This is the military security complex that the neoconservatives are going to use to impose U.S. hegemony on Russia, China, and Iran. Try to imagine America's drag queen army at war with Russia, China, and Iran. The Biden regime is the first in American history to promote sexual perversion, not only in society, but also in the military. In a society in which sexual perversion is normalized, which is what the Biden regime is achieving in America, the only immoral act is to oppose sexual perversion. The only people likely to oppose sexual perversion are the majority heterosexual population. Therefore, it is the majority population that becomes the target. President Biden recently told a black graduating class at Howard University that white people are the greatest threat. Last year, Biden said that black Americans live in fear of being gunned down by weapons of war deployed in a racist cause. We see the demonization of white Americans in the prosecutorial targeting of Trump Americans. We see it in the requirement by government, corporate, media, and university employers that white heterosexual males must submit to sensitivity training as a condition of employment. There's no requirement for black or woke freaks to be indoctrinated to sensitivity to white heterosexual males. White heterosexual males are simply being moved aside. Already, university enrollment show that white females outnumber white males in university enrollments by 20%. But the day of the woman is already over. The London Telegraph reports, feminists are routinely deplatformed and face protests when invited to speak on campus. Feminists understand that if men can self-declare as women, there are no more female sports. Feminists understand that if men can self-declare as women, the gender identity of women simply disappears. Feminists understand that if female pronouns cannot be used, there can be no reference to women. Until very recently, feminists were a powerful force. But today, they're shoved off the stage by an extremely small number of men who think or pretend to think that they are women. How can this be other than there is among the ruling elite the purpose of destroying the identity of each person in each person's mind while demonizing the majority population? We are confronted with satanic evil in its full force. I'm telling you, this guy has got it right. Completely brilliant. Paul Craig Roberts. You can find it on my blog, jameshfetzer.org. U.S. Navy enlists drag queen for digital ambassador role to attract more recruits. We'll be right back.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons in the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
I got a couple more stories to share with you today. I would normally be taking calls, but Mitchell got wiped out by the weather, and I was unable to locate a producer to handle calls. Migrants moving into 20 New York City schools. Think about this. I mean, they got to go somewhere, right? After images last week revealing mattresses being installed, Mayor Eric Adams stated on Tuesday, 20 local public school gymnasiums are currently being considered to host migrants. There are 20 separate gymnasiums in the city that are not considered to be part of a formal educational institution. They are on the list of prospective venues that they could potentially utilize, according to Adams. He claimed they're not quite there at this point, or there must be some decision made to ensure they're able to accommodate more people if the increase persists. Last week, some 4,200 migrants entered New York City. This present weekend, a further 15 buses are anticipated. Adams insists the city is still not overrun with migrants to the point where individuals have to be kept in gyms, claiming individuals who are seen at a Brooklyn gymnasium during the past weekend were only staying for several hours. Adams says migrants could be put in 20 New York City gyms, tweets Robert Kingsbury. Adams' mention of the prospective location follows after a minimum of 75 migrants were briefly detained at PS Public School 188 in Coney Island on Sunday. 10 more were dropped at an MS, I think that means middle school, 577 PS Public School 17 in Willisburg, early Tuesday. The Coney Island school headmaster informed families of this in a letter sent to them on Friday of last week. The letter revealed the institution had been selected to be among the emergency interim locations that will accommodate people and their families who are looking for refuge in the city. Prior to this, they were reportedly sent to an old derelict schoolhouse on Staten Island. Migrants were seen loitering around and lying over green cots near the solitary Brooklyn Gymnasium. Here's Diane Bagan, LMSW, tweeting, "When will New York City stop making children sacrifice themselves for problems created by adults? New York City Mayor and New York City Council, POTUS, kids have sacrificed too much already. Enough. Already, Adams says, migrants could be put into 20 New York City school gyms. Think about it. They got to go somewhere, right? You can't bring these staggering number into the country and not have them go somewhere. Here's another you're going to love. Mexican while being arrested for catalytic converter theft, tells cops, "The Russians and Chinese are coming for you soon." Linwood, Washington police were called to a suspicious circumstance. An officer arrived and initiates contact with a man under a truck, apparently stealing a catalytic converter. Then things got very interesting. The officer immediately orders the man out from under the truck. The individual claims it's his friend's truck and it's going to get towed. The officer asks for identification, but the man tells the officer he doesn't have it. The individual admits to the officer who is taking out the catalytic converter. At that point, he walks away from the officer toward his vehicle. The man disobeys the officer's command to stop and forces the officer to go hands-on. The man resists arrest as other officers respond to assist taking him into custody. While being arrested, the man tells cops, "The Russians are coming for you soon," and then says, "America is a bitch," and repeats, "The Russians and Chinese are coming for you soon." The individual is patted down for weapons at that point. He begins to resist again. The officer walks him to another patrol car where he's seated in the vehicle. The officers then begin to conduct an investigation. They walk around the vehicle, discuss the crime. During the course of investigation, the officers determine the man has been stripping the truck. The officers finish up their investigation and transport the man to jail. Here's a body cam footage from the arrest from start to finish. Listen yourself when police intercept the guy. Listen to this.
Hi there.
Yeah. You're going to be towed.
What?
You're going to be towed.
Okay, are you a property manager here?
No.
Who? Okay, is this your car?
Yeah, it's going to be towed.
Okay, is this your car?
That's somebody who I know. You're gonna be calm.
Okay. Can you come out? Can you come out and talk to me? I'll let you know you're being audio and video recorded. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. What's up?
Because somebody who knows the owner of the truck says
it's gonna be towed.
Oh. Okay. Do you have ID?
No, not me.
Okay. So, who owns the truck?
On the phone with the IP, whoever's on.
I just, customer. I was trying to get something that I'm missing from my truck.
Whose truck is it?
I don't know the name.
Okay, I thought you said you knew the owner of the truck.
Somebody told me that's going to be towed, but
it's whatever. Yeah. So what are you taking off of it?
I was trying to get somebody stole my catalytic.
So you're taking
get the tube.
So you're taking the catalytic converter?
No, they have no catalytic. Uh-huh. At least a pipe. It's a pipe.
It's a 1041. Hold on. Hey.
Yeah.
No, don't. Hey, no, leave that. Put it down.
Why am I putting it down?
Wait. I'm
under arrest. Put your hands behind your back right now. I'm just picking up my stuff.
You understand what I'm saying? You're under arrest. You're under arrest.
Other officers are coming. Don't even do it. I got it.
Okay? We're going to stay right here. If you try to move, you go into the ground. You understand?
Shit.
I got a taser and I will use it. You understand what I'm saying?
I understand what the fuck.
Okay, relax.
Don't move. You know the Russians are coming for you?
The Russians are coming for me?
They're coming for you, my friend.
Yeah?
Jeez. You can't take a bullet?
Okay, just grab a valve.
I didn't. They load me for that. I have my...
Don't reach for anything.
No, I have my LV right here.
Oh, you said you didn't have ID. Here, over here. Okay, it's going up there.
I'm not freaking. Okay, you stupid.
Okay, you're under arrest. Yes. You're under arrest.
Russia, they're going to come and get you very soon. Very soon, you freaking door is going to collapse. And then they have nations all over the world.
All details. And they got militias also.
Let me see. Very soon, America will be burned. According to the Bible. America is going to be burned. Understand? Let's see, the garage is going to have two, three, you know? All with the garage.
Well, that's probably enough. I mean, it goes on. Hal Turner observes, for many years, those who keep abreast of the illegal aliens crossing into the U.S. have observed most of the males are of military age and very fit. These observers have wondered aloud if these invaders are actually foreign military being sent into the U.S. to be pre-positioned to harm us from within once hostilities begin. This video seems to quite accidentally confirm that. A guy had been arrested for stealing catalytic converters. Why would he tell the cops, the Russians are coming for you soon, unless he knows something the rest of us do not? I mean, who in their right mind would even bring something like that up while being arrested? And the other thing he said, America is a bitch. This tells you that these presumably, but not certainly, illegal aliens aren't coming here for freedom or for love of America. No, they clearly seem to have some other agenda. Now it seems quite possible to me these men are being sent from foreign military to be prepositioned to harm us from within, which, as many of you are aware, is exactly what I have been explaining is going on. I mean, the situation is just monstrous. Very, very, very troubling. Monstrous. Let me add, by the way, Russia has taken out a weapon depot which had depleted uranium weapons there. And there's a radioactive cloud that's moving over Poland, which appears to be appropriate since they seem to have come in by way of Poland. So the situation is really, really bad. Meanwhile, the second smartest guy in the world has published a PSYOP climate change, the absurd CO2 scam, using a chart that shows over 600 million years of CO2 reveals currently the world is depleted and low of CO2 and actually needs more CO2, not less. The current atmospheric CO2 level is around 420 parts per million, which is critically too low. We actually need more CO2, not less. The big oil corporations that have been pushing for all the green energy scams out there are directly profiting from the climate change agenda, ironically. Brainwashed leftist Michael Moore backed this great documentary exposing the involvement of big oil in the climate change hoax, Planet of the Humans. Vehicles like Tesla consume much more fossil fuel energy and resources over their lifespans and generate far more pollution. The only advantage of driving such clean vehicles that are backed up by taxpayers via ZEV credits, grants, and other theft transfers is that they will indirectly generate more CO2 over time. How ironic is that? The green energy scam is a program to impoverish the planet and accelerate depopulation via hyperinflation, poverty, supply chain shortages, and famine. It is really that simple and in plain sight. Climate change is a psychological indoctrination program whereby humans grow to despise themselves as the main causes of planetary destruction, considering the human race a scourge upon the world. This is a critical early phase of death cult normalization, allows for ritualistic suicidal behavior and, say, the uptake of slow-kill bioweapon injections. PSYOP-19 falls perfectly into PSYOP climate change for numerous reasons, as will the upcoming limited nuclear strikes in PSYOP World War III, which in turn will be justified for ever more urgent climate change policies. Remember, all these PSYOPs flow into and out of each other. Another, wrong again. 50 years of failed eco-apocalyptic predictions. Thanks to Tony Heller, who first collected many of these news clips and posted them on Real Climate Science Summary. Modern doomsdayers have been predicting climate and environmental disasters since the 1960s. They continue to do so today. None of the apocalyptic predictions with due dates as of today have come true. What follows is a collection of notably wild predictions from notable people in government and science. More than merely spotlighting the failed predictions, this collection shows that the makers of failed apocalyptic predictions often are individuals holding respected positions in government and science. While such predictions have been and continue to be enthusiastically reported by a media eager for sensational headlines, the failures are typically not reported at all. Here are a few examples. Already too late, dire famine forecast by 75. This is published in the 1967 in the Salt Lake Tribune by George Gates, Los Angeles Times writer. Los Angeles, it is already too late for the world to avoid a long period of famine. A Stanford University biologist said Thursday. Paul Ehrlich said the time for famine is upon us and will be at its worst and most disastrous by 1975. He said the population of the United States is already too big, that birth control may have to be accomplished by making it involuntary and by putting sterilizing agents into staple food, drinking water, and that the Roman Catholic Church should be pressured into going along with the routine measures of population control. Already too late. Dire famine by 1975. Here's another from 1969. Everyone will disappear in a cloud of blue steam by 1989. The New York Times, Sunday, August 10th, 1969. Full of pollution sees lack of time, asserts environmental ills outrun public concern by Robert Reinhold, special to the New York Times, Palo Alto, California, August 5th, The trouble with almost all environmental problems, says Paul R. Ehrlich, a population biologist, is that by the time we have enough evidence to convince people, you're dead. But Dr. Ehrlich is gathering that evidence in his laboratory at Stanford. He's wasting no time trying to convince people that drastic action is needed to head off what he foresees as a catastrophic explosion fueled by runaway population growth, a limited world food supply, and contamination of the planet by man. We must realize that unless we are extremely lucky, everybody will disappear in a cloud of blue steam in 20 years, the 37-year-old scientist said during a coffee break at his laboratory. The situation is going to get continually worse unless we change our behavior. Here's another from 1970, Ice Age by 2000. The Boston Globe. Thursday, April 16, 1970. Science predicts a new ice age by the 21st century. Air pollution may obliterate the sun and cause a new ice age in the first third of the next century if population continues to grow and the Earth's resources are consumed at the present rate, a pollution expert predicted yesterday. James P. Lodge Jr. also warned that if the current rate of increase in electric power generation continues, demands for cooling water will boil dry the entire flow of rivers and streams of continental United States. Looking into his smoggy crystal ball, Lodge also warned by the next century, the consumption of oxygen in combustion processes worldwide will surpass all of the processes which return oxygen to the atmosphere. Wow. Here's another. 1970. America is subject to water rationing by 1974 and food rationing by 1980. The Redlands Daily Facts, October 6. 1970, Dr. Ehrlich, outspoken ecologist to speak. Giving aspirin to cancer victims is what Dr. Ehrlich thinks of current proposal for pollution control. No real action has been taken to save the environment, he maintains. And if it does, and it does need saving, Ehrlich predicts that the ocean will be as dead as Lake Erie in less than a decade. He said that in 1970. The DDT in our fatty tissues has reached levels high enough to cause brain damage and cirrhosis of the liver. America will be subject to water rationing by 1974 and food rationing by 1980. Wow. Here's another, 1971. New ice age coming. Washington Post. U.S. scientist sees new ice age coming. The world could be as little as 50 or 60 years away from a disastrous new ice age. Ice age now. Notice this is the opposite of global warming. A leading atmospheric scientist predicts. Dr. S.I. Rasool of the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, Columbia University, says, in the next 50 years, the fine dust man constantly puts into the atmosphere by fossil fuel burning could screen out so much sunlight that the average temperature would drop by 6 degrees. If sustained over several years, 5 to 10, he estimated, such a temperature decrease could be sufficient to trigger an ice age. But no such peril to life has been observed as a so-called our ozone hole remains. They're talking about another catastrophe from the ozone. And here, of course, Al Gore. 10 years ago, Al Gore predicted the polar noise cap would be gone, and conveniently, it's still there. This is published in 2018 after Al Gore predicting in 2008, 10 years earlier, the North Polar ice cap would be completely ice-free in 5 years. Gore made the prediction to a German TV audience at the COP15 climate conference. Al warned them the entire North Polar ice cap will disappear in 5 years. 5 years. Think about it. And the global warming scam continues unabated? Just absolutely astonishing. There is no excess of CO2. It's actually indispensable to life on Earth. It contributes to the production of both water and oxygen. It cools Earth in multiple different directions. Joe Olson and I have done a now 10-part series you can find on my BitChute channel. I mean, give us a break. Look at all these apocalyptic reports about how we're going to encounter an environmental catastrophe. But the latest is being used to the greatest effect. Spend time with your family, the people you care and love about. We do not know how much time we have left.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs, government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hand of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global